would you stand with me for the honor of reading God's word? We're going to read two different passages, 1 Corinthians 9:24, and then we will read 1 Timothy 4:8. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 1 Timothy 4:8. Paul says to the church of Corinth, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win." Look at your neighbor and say, "We're in it to win it." "Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things." Now he's talking about the Olympic Games here. And I have my, if I had a pen out right now, I would underline the word self-control. Okay, we're going to talk about that these next few weeks. "Everyone who competes in these games exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath." That's their reward. "But we an imperishable. Therefore," he says, "I run in such a way as not without aim." I mean, I have purpose. "I box in such a way as not just beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave," or I beat my own body and make it my slave, "so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Paul tells Timothy, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." In the NIV it says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to hear from your word. And God, as we begin in this new series of sermons, Father, that we would emphasize the need to grow stronger. And Lord, that we would receive your word today. Father, that you would help us to evaluate where we stand with you, to evaluate our spiritual condition, and that today that we would make a decision that we would grow stronger in our walk and love for you. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, I understand the strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. My wife has this great ability to help me see the error of my ways. Isn't that good? And she made an observation the other day and told me, she said, "Now, I may have married a preacher, but you don't have to start looking like one." Because if you notice, a lot of preachers tend to get a little overweight. And so I had to come to the realization that if I'm not careful, I'm getting fat. And that's going to have to stop, right? I mean, there is places that we can go to help ourselves out. We have gyms, right? How many of y'all ever joined a gym? And you've had stuff like this, right? And you're like pumping this up and you're trying to get stronger. Get in shape, join today. You have a gym, it provides the environment. Now the gym, here's what I've discovered, just joining a gym doesn't get me in shape. How many of y'all thought you could just join a gym and you walk in and you just look at the weights? And then you find somebody that you know and you just start talking. And this is your workout. That doesn't do you any good, does it? No, you've got to actually apply what is available to you in order to lose weight. You know, I could blame it on a lot of things. I could say, you know what? It's my busy schedule that keeps me from working out and getting in shape. I could do that, right? How many of y'all could play that card? We could say, well, it's all the processed food that we're eating. I mean, we can't help it. I mean, where do you go to get some good food? I mean, McDonald's. It's all McDonald's fault, right? It's their fault that I'm getting overweight. I could blame the Well Cafe. It's the biscuit and gravy, right? I mean, it's their fault that I'm getting overweight. No, it's not. It's my fault. It starts with me, right? It's me. I'm the one feeding my face. I'm the one not going to the gym. I'm the one. It's me. If I'm out of shape, guess what? It's not the gym's fault. It's not the restaurant's fault. It's not anybody's fault, but who? But mine. And so if I'm going to get in shape, I've got to say, you know what? It stops now. It stops today. I'm going to get in shape. Same thing spiritually. If you're out of shape spiritually, you've got to come to ownership of that and say, you know what? The reason why I don't know Scripture, the reason why my prayer life stinks, the reason why I'm not walking with Christ and why I'm not having victory in my life, I mean, you could blame all kinds of people, couldn't you? You could say, well, it's the church's fault. That church, you know, it's the church's fault. It's the preacher's fault. That preacher, you know, he just doesn't preach any good sermons. If he could preach better, maybe I would be better. We can blame it on, well, there's just not enough Bible studies going on for me. We could do that. We could blame the worship. Well, that's the worship team's fault, you know. If they could sing a little better and sing songs that I liked a little better, and then I could maybe worship a little better. We could bring, you know, maybe you don't realize, you know, you don't give the way you should because maybe you don't see the offering bag as it comes by, you know. Maybe if the offering bag was a little bit more visible. And we could blame all kinds of people. We could say, you know, I don't fellowship because of this. And we could make all kinds of excuses, but you know what? The reality is we've got to say, you know what? No, it's my fault. I don't worship because I'm not engaged in worship. My mind's completely somewhere else. I'm not reading my Bible because, frankly, I like watching TV too much. Now, I'm going to preach this morning regardless if anybody wants to hear what I'm saying. Amen? Okay, here we go. Well, you know, our kids has got to play on that team. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And we can make excuses after excuses after excuses, but what we got to do is say, you know what? It stops today. I'm getting in spiritual shape today. I'm growing stronger in my walk today. I'm tired of not knowing Jesus the way I know that I need to know Jesus. And today, I'm getting stronger in my faith. Today, my relationship with God becomes a priority. Today, something changes. Today, I'm getting in. I'm getting into the church. The church, the only thing that we can do is provide environments and opportunities for you to exercise your faith. No one can pick up the Bible for you and read it. I mean, I try to do that on Sunday morning, but if you need more than that on Sunday morning. You need it every day. You need to be in Bible study. You need to be in worship. You need to be doing the things that God's called us to do, and it needs to be a priority, and everything matters. And today, we're going to get in shape. So over the next several weeks, we're going to go through our body, and we're going to get our body in spiritual shape. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting in shape today. I don't care what you do, but today, I'm going to make a decision to get in shape, okay? We're going to start with our mind. We're going to get our mind in shape because it's a travesty when we allow our mind to become mush, when we feast on the world rather than the word and allow our mind to become obese in nothing that really matters. We're in trouble. And so it's time to get our mind in shape. Today, we're going to begin there. Do you realize that we can have a depraved mind? That our mind can turn wicked, it can turn evil, and it can have thoughts that are not of God if we're not careful. And so if we look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, I'm going to talk about two brief ways that our mind can become weak. Our mind becomes weak and out of shape through false doctrine and fleshly desires. Okay? You need to remember that. Our mind gets out of shape through false doctrine and fleshly desires. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, Paul says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine, and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine according to godliness. He says, if you don't have correct doctrine, if your life isn't grounded on sound words, if the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't what matters to you, you're in trouble. When you move away from the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, you've moved away from sound teaching. When you move away from the fact that there is a God who came to earth to save sinful humanity, when you move away from the fact that we're sinners by nature and by choice, and that humanity is lost, and that man in and of himself, we are not good, and we are not going to create our own world of happiness and glorification, that we are broken sinners in need of a Savior. When you move away from the fact that there is a sovereign God who is reigning over all things and pursues the broken people and sent his Son to die for them so that they might be forgiven, when you move away from the fact that you must repent of your sin and turn to faith in Jesus and him only for the forgiveness of your sins, and when you move away from the fact that when you're saved, that you have been changed from the inside out and it makes you a different person, when you move away from that, your mind becomes weak and mush and slush, and you go soft, and you become a Christian that's not effective for the kingdom of God. You have to remain true to the word of God. I've said it over and over and over, and I will continue to say it. Either the word of God has authority over your life, or you're going to put it down here and you're going to have authority over it. You're either going to allow the Bible to dictate what you think, believe, and the way that you act, or you're going to tell it what you should do. But I'm telling you, you're not the authority over the word. Nobody. I don't care what new philosophy or new thought is out there. If it goes against the word of God, it's wrong. And he says, so false doctrine and our fleshly desires creep in and will cause our mind to become weak. It says the person who does not feast on the spiritual healthy food, look at verse 4, it says, he is conceited and understanding nothing. He is conceited and understanding nothing. Back in the first church, Paul had to deal with a group of people, the pre-Gnostics. The Gnosticism of their day was a group of people who had a counter-Christianity, a counterfeit Christianity, who thought that they were spiritually wise. And they knew more than the average Christian. And they had a special gnosis or knowledge that others didn't have. And until you encountered this special knowledge and special revelation, you weren't enlightened like the rest of folks. Be careful about people who are over spiritual, who always like to see a different special, you know, who always have these dreams. People who always talk about their dreams scare me. Well, you know, this and that. And then they love to think that they're more deep than you. No. Some folks love to go to conferences where we're so deep, and the guy gets up and speaks and all this stuff, and they're sitting there going, ooh, wow, ooh, ah, whoa, man. And they walk out of the conference, and they're like, man, wasn't that a great conference? Wasn't that awesome? And they're like, man, yeah, it was. What did he say? I don't know, man. But it was deep. Be careful for people who are over spiritual and try to make you think that you're not up to their level because they're conceited, and actually, Paul says, they understand nothing. They're lacking of spiritual knowledge, even though they claim to have a bunch of spiritual knowledge. He says, but they have a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words. You know folks like that? They're always wanting to ask these philosophical questions and getting debates about what these were, you know, words and word battles and thinking and getting Christians off course. This can happen in churches. It can happen in seminaries. It can happen in Bible study discussions that you get somebody in there. Have you ever been around somebody that just asks questions because they like to hear themselves ask questions? Or they're really asking a question, not to ask for the answer, but they want to throw off the whole discussion and try to confuse somebody in the midst of the group. Huh? They're there. They're in the church. And they'll try to confuse people. So you got to be careful when people begin to do things like this. It says, they do this out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of, look, depraved what? Minds. And deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain for their own benefit, for their own purpose. In the New American Commentary, the author made this observation about this part of the text. It says, the products of such crippled teaching include an envy that shows annoyance at the success of others and a spirit of dissension that brings envy into the open. Also included are malicious talk, wicked denunciations of others, evil suspicions, fault finding, and misgivings about the integrity of others. The vividness of Paul's description suggested that he was facing a concrete situation which aroused his indignant protest. Paul saw that a sense of real community had been compromised. False doctrine, fleshly desires for our own gain, our own purposes, and trying to manipulate and use people and things for our own good will cause our mind to be mush. People always try to find issues and point out everything that's wrong, but never want to be a part of what makes it right. It's a problem. Romans 1:28 talks about the depravity of the mind when it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a what? Depraved mind, to do the things which are not proper. Do you realize that if you reject the Spirit of God and you reject God's ways over and over and over, and you're bent on your own fleshly desires, and you have your own false doctrine, and you have your own agendas and personal pursuits that are not of God, there comes a time when God gives you what you ask for. He'll hand you over to your depraved mind. This is a sad state that Paul talks about, that God hands them over to a depraved mind. It is a scary thing when you're not in your right mind, isn't it? Have you ever been around somebody that's just not in their right mind? They don't think right. There's something wrong, isn't it? Now, don't be pointing fingers now. They're not in their right mind. There was a man in the Bible that lived among the graves. And the Bible says that he was demon-possessed. And they would try to contain him by chaining him up. But he was so strong, the demon is inside of him was so strong that he would break loose the chains and he would cut himself. He would harm himself and it would make he's scaring everybody else. And then there was a day that Jesus came. And Jesus met him, and he says, what is your name? And he says, it is Legion. That tells you how many demons were in this guy. He was out of his mind. And Jesus brings healing to this man, and in Mark chapter 5, verse 15, it says this. It says, they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, they became frightened. They didn't know what to do. They saw a miracle and they just freaked out. But notice what it says about the man. He was now in what? His right mind. Because when he was out of his mind, when his mind was wayward, when his mind was diseased, when his mind was problematic, he was a danger to himself and to others around him. And he had lost his mind. But when he encountered Jesus, he got his mind back. Today, when we're growing stronger, it's time to get our mind back. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting my mind back. Because you see, I believe that a lot of us, we've lost our everlasting mind. I mean, as a society, as a nation, man, we've done lost our mind. We're out there out in left field somewhere, and it's time to get our mind back. It's time to get focused on what God wants us to do. If you can celebrate a lifestyle that is contrary to the Word of God, you've done lost your mind. And there's some people among us that on their Facebook is excited and happy over the Supreme Court ruling. And I want you to know, you've done lost your mind if that's you. And we need to get our mind back. Because God's word stands true. And there is a higher court than the Supreme Court of our land. And it is the sovereign court of God. And he's sovereign over all. Now here's what. It doesn't bother me. I'm not upset, scared, intimidated. Not one bit. You know why? Because I read the Bible. And I don't think that God in heaven was up there wringing his hands and going, oh, mercy. Oh, my me. What am I going to do now that the United States of America has made a decision contrary to my word? Guess what? God's sovereign. He doesn't need America. He doesn't need us. We need him. God's sovereign and in control. And guess what? I read the Bible. When in Rome, they were very anti-Christian. Their worldview was completely different than the Christians' worldview. They had open homosexuality there. It was no big deal. They had all kinds of other difference, adultery, all kinds of sexual immorality was going on. They didn't faze them one bit. They attacked and persecuted Christians. They put them to death. They martyred them. And the church still grew. You know what? I think that there's bright days for the church. I think there may be dark days for America, but I think there might be bright days for the church. Because even in the midst of chaos, the church will never fail. And so it's time for the Christians to really stand up. You know what? I see this as a great opportunity. Because as a Christian, we've always been called to come up out of the world and look different. And in America, I'll just go ahead and say it, it's been easy to be a Christian for the most part. Because America's always been a Christian nation. So going to church was socially acceptable. It was something that was okay. So many people would just go to church because they were businessmen in the community and they knew it looked good and it helped their business. I realize that. Those days are gone. They're going to be gone. It's going to be the real children of God who come to the church and worship the King. And it's going to cost you something here in a few years to really be a Christian. I don't give my tithes to get a tax write-off. I want you to know that. Whether they take the tax-exempt status away from the church or give any benefits that the church has away in this nation, I'm still glorifying God. There's nothing changing in my life. As a matter of fact, I may rev it up a little bit more. So all we got to do is continue to grow stronger in the Lord. Do not let your mind go by the wayside. Say, well, what if this church dwindles to about 200 people? That's all right. I preached to 30 in the storefront. I don't care. Amen. 30 people who love Jesus and are not afraid of the gospel can change the world. God's not interested in a big crowd. That's what preachers are interested in. That's what churches are interested in. Jesus doesn't make the claim, well, in so and so years, we're going to have X amount of people coming to our church. No, he's interested in, will you be my follower? Will you pick up the cross daily and follow me? We're interested in the numbers. He's interested in the people. Parents, those of you who are out there carousing around, going to parties on the weekend, concerts, drinking and having a good time, and then wondering why your kids are on dope. I wonder. You see, Colorado thought it was going to be a great idea to legalize marijuana. Well, it doesn't matter what Colorado says, it's still wrong. We can legislate sin and we can say it's okay, but if God says it's not okay, it's not okay. It doesn't matter what we vote on. The people are often wrong. The majority is usually on the road that's wide that leads to destruction. Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to righteousness. Our mind has been corrupt because we can't think. We can't think for ourselves. We can't indulge what God wants us to do. So what we got to do is we got to get a stronger mind. We have got to get a stronger mind. We have got to get the mind of our muscle growing. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not be molded into this world's pattern. Stop allowing Hollywood to dictate to you what you're supposed to believe. Quit allowing the politicians to tell you what you're supposed to believe. Don't be listening to your sports hero and what you are to believe. Listen to the Word of God. Do not be conformed. It says, do not let the world mold you into its way of thinking. But be what? Transformed. That Greek word transformed there is metamorphosis. It's where we get metamorphosis through with a caterpillar that goes into a butterfly that we are to change. We are to be changed, transformed. How? By the renewing of our what? Mind. Guys, we got to think biblical. We got to allow the Bible to mold our mind. We can't allow the world to mold us. Because when we allow philosophies and we allow this world and we allow our own politics and our own activist organizations to control what we think, we are in danger of having a weak mind biblically. We've got all kinds of Christians out there that don't know how to stand up for what is true because your mind has been so corrupted and polluted by the world. You think like the world thinks because you ingest what the world gives you. You feast on what the world gives you. You spend more time listening and watching, observing and talking in worldly pursuits than you do godly pursuits. And so it is time that if we're going to grow stronger, we've got to start with our mind and we've got to be conformed, not to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So how are we going to do this? Two quick ways. To get a stronger mind, we're going to set our mind in the right place, and we're going to set our mind with the right perspective. Okay? Lift those two weights this week. Set your mind in the right place, and set your mind with the right perspective. How many of y'all know sometimes we can get our mind off course? Have you ever been playing a sport and your just mind not being in the game? You're there, but you're not there. Have you ever been in like a band or a team thing and you're just going through the motions? Your mind's not in it. You know, sometimes your coach goes, get your mind in the game. What's going on? You know, your mind sometimes can go off. That happened to Peter. Remember Peter? Jesus had just said, who do men say that I am? He goes, you are Christ, the Son of God. You know, woo, way to go, Peter. Jesus is like, blessed are you, son of our Jonah, for the flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. And then Jesus goes on and tells them that he's going to end up dying on the cross. And Peter says, no way, Jesus, I'm never going to let that happen. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. I think many of us fall guilty into this. We set our mind not on God's interest, but in man's. We're not worried about what God wants to do in our life. We're not focused on God. Our mind isn't set to the glory of God. It's set on our own plans, thoughts, agendas, purposes. We love this life, don't we? But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to die to this life. You see, it's been so comfortable here in America, and we have nice homes, and we get to drive nice cars, and we have nice clothes, and we have nice stuff, and all that gets stripped away. what really matters? Is that really what we live for? Do we really live to get that better and bigger this or that? Is that really the end of our life? That we can have a lot of stuff? Or is it that God can have His way with our life? That we can know Him in a passionate way that brings honor to Him, and that we share the good news with other people, and that our friends and family members that we know and people that we work with who don't know Jesus, they come to know Jesus because we share His grace with them. You're not taking stuff with you. Stuff won't be there. Your stuff won't be there. The people that you witness to and share your faith with, they'll be there. I think you ought to be about that. I think that's important. I think praying for lost souls is important. I think seeing people getting baptized is an awesome thing. And if you grow weary of that, you've done lost your mind. Your mind is gone. You're off focus. Because it ought to be about the things of God. It's got to be set in the right place. And I'm going to quickly, in 3 minutes, read through this verse of Scripture in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 10. You ready? You better listen fast. Here we go. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. This is Colossians 3. Where's the right place? In Christ in heaven. Set your mind on the things where? Above, not on things that are on earth. Set your mind heavenward. That's where we're going. We all dying. How many of y'all know you're dying? You're dying every day. My knee and hip was aching me yesterday. I think, what in the world is going on with me? Getting old, dying, getting closer to glory each and every breath, right? Heaven's our final destination. Don't fall in love with this world. Fall in love with Christ. Now look at verse 3. This is the right perspective. You ready? You want the right perspective. Set it in the right place on God. Have the right perspective. You ready? For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, look at verse 5. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to what? Immorality. Oh yeah, by the way, homosexuality is not the only sexual sin that there is. There's adultery, fornication, all that stuff. And if you embrace that and celebrate that, you've done lost your mind. That's not of God. It says, put away, consider yourself dead to immorality, to impurity, to passions. This is like evil fleshly passions, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Some of you love your money so much that you'll not invest it in the kingdom of God. And he says that's idolatry. For it is because of these things, what's these things? The things he just said, that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Now look at verse 7. And in them you also what? Once walked. Is once a past or present tense. Past tense, that means this is what you used to do. This is how your life used to be. But now, it says, this is how you once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them what? All aside. Put what aside? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the what? With its evil practices. And have put on the new self, who's being what? Renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. He said, you've died to the old man so that you may live to the new. So all of the stuff that you used to be in part of, all of the stuff that your mind used to entertain, doesn't need to be entertained anymore. The lust that your mind used to entertain, get it out. The greed that used to be in your mind, get rid of it. The anger that you hold, the envy that is there, the slander that is there, get it away. Get it off. Get it off. It's not good. It's destroying your life. It's making you ineffective for the kingdom. Your mind is not set in the right place. Your mind is not set with the right perspective. And it distorts and kills us today. We set it in the right place. Today we set it with the right perspective. Say, well, Grant, man, I've been setting my mind in the right place. I've been having my mind in the right with the right perspective. And I say, keep doing it. You keep doing it. And you ask yourself, Lord, where am I weak? I don't want to be a weak-minded Christian. So I will set my mind in the right place and with the right perspective. And I will have a stronger mind. That needs to be my declaration today. I will set my mind in the right place and with the right perspective. And I will have a stronger mind. Say that with me one time. You ready? I will set my mind in the right place and with the right perspective. And I will have a stronger mind. We're going to grow stronger. These next few weeks, we're going to grow stronger in our faith. I want to put out some scripture verses and some helps and some things about the mind throughout this week. I'm trying to get in this new world of Twitter. You can follow me at G Canoy. I'm going to give you some things to help you focus your mind this week. If you're not a part of our Facebook page for the church, get on it. Today, this week, we're going to focus on our mind. Your assignment this week, your homework assignment, is to focus on your mind this week, that it will grow stronger, that you will be thinking the things of God, that you'll shut off maybe some of your social media outlets where you're getting all of your information and begin feasting on the Word of God. How about we let His Word transform our mind? Church, it's time to shine. It's time to stand out. It's time to be the light to a dark world. And we're going to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word. You ready? The Holy Spirit's coming to pump you up. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. And Lord, some of us just need to confess and say, you know what? My mind is not being alert. My mind has not been captivated by your word, and I've allowed the world to creep in and pollute the way that I think. Today, I want to change my perspective. I want to do what Romans 12:2 says and not be conformed to this world, but I want to be transformed. I want to renew my mind. So, Lord, help me. Help me renew today my mind. Help me have a stronger mind. Lord, this week, Father, I pray for courage and strength as we all go out, to that we will focus intentionally on building the muscle of our mind and that we will grow stronger mentally in you, God. That we'll love you with all of our mind as you tell us to. Father, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know you as personal Savior, they've never surrendered to you as Lord, they've never said, I need to be saved, I'm lost. Today would you speak? Father, maybe there might be some that just need to recommit and rededicate their lives to you, God. Whatever you want to do in our hearts, would you do in us? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, let's sing, let's come, let's respond, let's move.